Hey, home theater nerds, thanks for pushing play on the Bright Side Home Theater Podcast. The podcast that's all about the experiences, the sights, the sounds, the scenes. And this week's experience, Terminator. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Before I get into the sights, sounds, and scenes of this classic from 1984, let's talk about how you can subscribe. It's real easy on YouTube. Just click that little button right there. Or on your favorite podcast platform, real easy, just hit subscribe, follow along on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. Or for more information on all of this, you can go to the website brightsidehometheater.com. Now let's head into the theater and push play on Terminator.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Terminator from 1984. What more can I say? It's on Blu-ray. We need this in 4K. I mean, everybody wants this in 4K. Along with The Abyss, True Lies, all of that. I mean, we need these Cameron movies in 4K. Hopefully he'll get to them. This one here, I hope, is on the top of my list. Me personally, the top of my list is The Abyss, because that movie, it just really deserves it. It's such an epic movie. This one here, being from 1984, I'm not as upset it's not in 4K. I can live with the quality that we have for right now, because it is an older movie. But it'll be a lot of fun to get this, a restoration of this would be really, really nice. So let's get into the picture. Grainy. Adequate. Nice. It's from 1984. I'll take it. Grainy at times. You get a little bit of clarity when you need it, but some of the darker scenes have some grain, a lot of grain in them. I'm going to talk about one particular scene later on after the popcorn is popped. And I mean, it spoilers for this. How many people haven't seen this movie, right? So, but anyways, there's some nice resolution shots in this movie too from 1984, and I'll get to in a couple of scenes, you'll hear that. But overall, I can't rave about the picture, but I really can't complain. It's from 1984. It's got a lot of grain to it. It doesn't have great HDR. It's not like when I've done other older movies and I'm like, wow, this really looks good. I'm surprised. Like when I did The Day After Tomorrow a few weeks ago, this isn't like that, but this movie is from, like I said, it's 84. So, as far as sound goes, not a reference level sound, but it is a lot of fun. I'm going to talk about some, discrete sounds going on around the room, some ambient sounds, some little things that you probably wouldn't notice. I probably missed a bunch. There's a ton of pans in here. And I know I missed a bunch of those. You know how much I love them. There's one in particular that's one of my favorites. You'll know what I'm talking about. The one I'm referencing right now, I don't want to spoil it for you, but Linda Hamilton kind of stares off into the darkness. So that scene is one of my favorites from the movie because it is a pan and it's pretty funny. But I have to imagine that the reason that we get so many pans, so many really nice pans in these movies, in James Cameron's movies, is James Cameron's always been very conscious of the home viewer. VHS, when this came out, was just starting out, and not a lot of people had it, but maybe he had the forethought. I know in his later movies, he definitely was aware that most of the viewings of these is going to be done at home, right? So you go to the movies, especially back then, you'd be like, if you saw it once, maybe twice. It's very difficult back then to see movies multiple times. So the viewings were going to take place on cable TV and on your VHS, where all in your home. If you had a stereo television, and I say if, because a lot of people didn't. A lot of people had one speaker on their television. But if you had a stereo television, you could probably get those pans. And that's why when you're making these movies, thinking about VHS, thinking about these playing on a television, you're going to think like a nice pan across the front of the room. easy to execute, even in with a stereo, just a stereo television. So it gives you that nice sense. You could get a kind of a home theater sense back in the 80s with just two channels. So that's where these, I think that's where these pans came from and why they're so prevalent in these older movies, especially a Cameron movie. So there's a ton of them in this, but I really enjoyed them. There's a lot of nice pans going on from front to rear, down the sides from front to rear. That's the stuff we couldn't get in the 1980s. Not until Dolby Surround came out, and probably shortly after this movie, we got Dolby Surround, which was 4-channel. And then we went to ProLogic, which was 5. So, you know, when they were making this movie, which was early 80s, so maybe they didn't have that in mind, but they still were able to execute it for the Blu-ray. So sounds really good. Really enjoyed it. The popcorn is popping. Let's get to these scenes. I've got a bunch. I've got a little faux pas as well. Apparently Arnold is not safe with sharp objects. We'll talk about that one, but let's get to it. And where are we going to start? The opening, of course. 1984, as I said, and this has a really nice opening for a movie from 1984. We open up with the MGM logo, the MGM lion. You get a nice roar in your room. Then some credits go by, and then you hear some wind blowing. A little bit towards the front of the room. Would have liked to have heard that around me in my room. But it still, it progresses very nicely from there because we go to the future and we see the battle with, you know, the hunter killers scrolling or crawling along the ground, the treads crushing skulls. But really nice, really, really nice room engagement. Stuff going on all around your room. But when they first come in, you get that flying hunter killer. I think that's what they're called. The flying one comes in from the right rear of your room, down the side into the front of the room. You get some explosions. Of course, as I said before, you get the treads going over the skulls, the nice crushing sound. Really, really nice room engagement there to get you into the feel, get you going. We all know the history of this franchise. So we know this is basically the opening in Terminator 2. They duplicated it in Terminator 2 pretty much. But they upped it. They better graphics, better CGI, everything going on. And they did in Terminator 2, obviously you have Linda Hamilton narrating the opening scene. This one here, I kind of like it because you don't have any narration. You're just listening to the sounds in your room and you're reading the screen, which kind of brings you into the room a little bit more, lets you hear more of the sounds going on in your room. Picture is pretty nice, little grainy, but it is an older movie and this is just Blu-ray. But where it really progresses for me is when we get into the credits or the title shot where you have the Terminator word coming across your screen and you have the credits coming up on the screen in a computer font and then it goes away and flashes a little bit green on you. I really liked that, and I thought it looked crisp. I thought it looked really nice contrast, deep blacks in the background, of course, full screen, so really sucks you right in with the credits coming across on, you know, Justified to the left. Just a really nice opening scene, and that opening score, that Terminator score, the da-da-da-da-da, but the music, you know, going on. Here I am singing again. All of that going on, and it really fills the room really nice. Wasn't front heavy like I thought it was going to be. As I stated earlier, you had the wind blowing at the very beginning, and it was all to the front. But the rest of the scene really does fill your room. Really hopeful for the rest of the movie. Lots of fun as you're starting out, but so far, so good in this opening scene. All right, let's move along to 3 minutes, 43 seconds, dumpster. And trash truck picking up a dumpster. And as the trash truck pulls up, you have the sound Justified a little bit to the right of the room. Really loud scene, really nice, all mechanical, giving you the foreshadowing here, because this is now our present 1984 and everything that's mechanical are these big trucks. But what are we going to get introduced to is obviously the Terminator, which is very mechanical. And way more refined. Yeah, boy, do I sound intelligent. way more refined than, say, a trash truck. So the trash truck's arms are coming down. You have sounds on both sides of the front of your room from the left to the right, depending on where those arms are. But then as the trash truck pulls into the dumpster's on the left side of your screen, and you hear the sound on the left side as those arms clang against the dumpster. Really cool there. But I also like the idea of this, you know, just a dump truck, trash truck, and it's just very strong mechanical type truck. But what we're going to get introduced to. All right, let's move along to 16 minutes, 22 seconds, Sarah Connor. And this is where Arnold comes to the door. He has a Sarah Connor's address and he asks the woman, Sarah Connor. And she's like, yes. And then he opens the door. You get a really nice pan there when your camera goes inside this Sarah Connor's house. And the door opens up onto the right side of your screen. You hear it on the right side of your screen. Decent gunshots. Would have liked to have had a little bit louder of a gunshot here when he executes Sarah Connor, because that's a pretty hefty weapon that he's holding there. So it would have been nice to hear that is a little bit more boost. Maybe we'll get that when in 4K rendering shows up someday. But the transition, what I really liked about that is now the scene right after Sarah Connor's executed, the scene jumps to the kitchen area of where our Sarah Connor that we know and love is working. So she's coming into the kitchen and it's a jump cut. So we go right to it. But as soon as they jump cut, you can hear the steam and like cooking going on the right side towards the rear of your room. And then Sarah walks into the room and the steam kind of pans towards the front of the room down the right side. Just like if you were like as the camera's following her along, like you were in that kitchen. I thought that was really cool. That actually is why I stamped the scene more so than the door pan and the gunshots. It was that jump cut where all of a sudden, when you're paying attention to it, all of a sudden you'll hear psh, you'll hear steam going off in the background, which is just the cooking, you know, the steam coming off of the pots and pans or whatever. So I liked that. So jumping up to 17 minutes and 41 seconds. And I labeled this 1750 and I gave it a box of popcorn, one box of popcorn. So here we have Kyle Reese and he's in a construction area at nighttime. And he's starting to have a flashback to because of the sounds going on around him. So a crane is moving across the ground and it's crushing the ground in 1984. So Kyle Reese is about to fall, like he's falling back to sleep, or he's about to fall asleep. And he's starting to go get a flashback to the future and the hunter killer's tracks going over the skulls like we had in the opening sequence. Notice at exactly 1750. Now, this is one where I really think you need to be listening at a reference level because the tone changes and it's very distinct. The sound in present 1984 sounds like it sounds nice. It sounds, but it's a little bit higher. You would never notice the difference until they give you that fuller, deeper, more like just a fuller sound. And it happens on mine. It happened at exactly 17 minutes and 50 seconds. So your player should relatively be the same, but right around there, the camera's panning down. You're looking at the treads of the crane. And then at 1750 is where the transition takes place, where now we're back, we're into the future part. And you're going to see skulls start to come up from the bottom of the screen because now instead of just being gravel in the construction area, you're getting the skulls. But right at that point, notice the difference in sound. Notice how it changes. It goes from that just a normal sound and it's, like I said, it sounds fine. But then all of a sudden it just gets deeper and more full, a little bit more bass to it. And now we get into one, like the opening sequence, we get into a battle in the future and all the lasers and going off and stuff like that. But I really like that at 1750, how that changed. I thought that was really, really cool. And again, if you're not listening at reference level, it might be tough to pick up because maybe your subs aren't boosted enough to give you that fuller, to notice that It's like a switch. It's very subtle, but it is there. It is like a switch. So check that out. Let me know what you think, because I thought it was really cool. So hopefully you can hear it and you do too. All right, let's move along to 27 minutes and 3 seconds. I called this Pixels. And right here, Sarah's hearing the report at the bar, I believe. And the camera, the shot goes to the newscast on the screen. So your entire big screen is now taken up by a newscast from 1984. And you can make out every single pixel. And it is so cool, because this is a great scene to be able to say, like, you freeze this on your screen. Now go up to it. And if you could count all the way across, that's the resolution you'd have on your screen right then. Now, take each one of those little squares, because you can make out every single square. And I can make out every single square on my 110-inch screen. So even on a 75, I bet you can make out 75, 85. Definitely, you can make out these squares. So this is where we get into that discussion of, do we need 8K? Do we need 4K? So if you took these squares, and this has got to be like, what, 480p, 480 anyways, something like that, 480i probably, or even lower resolution. If you took those squares and you divide them in half, which means now you, instead of having one square, you're actually having four, because you divide it in half both ways. Because when you make a pixel, when you divide a pixel, you have to split it into four equal pixels, not, you know, two longer ones. So now you have four, and that's why we quadruple our resolution like that, where you go from, or double your resolution, you go from 2 to 4, like 2K to 4K to 8K. So what happens is try to double that, draw on a piece of paper, and then just keep on going, and that's why your eye is never going to be able to pick up 8K. And I used to be able to see on this screen, I used to be able to see a 1080p pixel. I can't make out a pixel even walking up to the screen now in 4K. Never mind 8K. So what's the point? But I think this looks really cool here, because this is going to be awesome when it comes out in HDR or 4K with HDR. I think this scene, you're going to even be able to see these pixels even better. And I think it's going to be fantastic. I absolutely love this. It's not something that you're like, bring everybody over and show them this scene. But for us, the home theater fans, and seeing this resolution, seeing where we came from and where we are today, I think it's just fantastic. It's so much fun to look at and reminisce a little bit. But all right, let's move along to 28 minutes, 48 seconds, 28:48. Nightclub, I give it one box of popcorn. So Sarah Connor's walking down the street. She feels like she's being followed, and she is. She's being followed by Kyle, and she's trying to get to someplace safe. So she hears a nightclub on the side. It's actually, you can't hear it yet, but when the scene goes to her opening the door and coming into the nightclub, you can hear the music from the nightclub playing in the back of your room. Pretty loud. She's trying to hear the person. They're like, where's the phone? They say it's in the back, and she starts to make her way in, and then, well, hey, you got to pay. So that's all going on while the nightclub sound is kind of blaring away. It's not overly loud, but it is there, like just like you were outside a nightclub. There's actually a part where she's leaning before she gets to the window to ask where the phone is. There's actually a part where they go back outside, because she's standing up against the glass, and they'll go outside and you'll to see Kyle Reese. The camera gets on him, and then the nightclub gets even softer and in the background in the back of your room as well. So there's a quick transition there in sound, which is really cool. But what I really liked, and what I want you to pay attention to when you're watching this scene, is when she starts to make her way into the nightclub, the camera's on her and she's walking in. So is your room. The sound goes from being just fairly loud in the back to progressing towards the front of the room. As you're getting into the nightclub, the sound becomes more balanced, just like, because you're not outside it anymore. You're not standing with it behind you. So now she's walking in, it's coming in, the front of the room starts to get engaged, and the volume gradually goes up as well. It's really nice effect that they did there, because what's really cool is it's very subtle. And what I have the ability to do is I can jump back by 1 minute. or 10 seconds. That's where you really notice it. If you can back up and just jump from being in the nightclub to hearing just outside the nightclub when she's standing in that, you know, pay window area, you'll hear the sound of your room all of a sudden just shift to the back of the room. It's really cool. So it check that out, but it is subtle and it is there, but your room just becomes the nightclub. Really, really cool. That's why I gave it a box of popcorn. Up next at 36 minutes even, Come With Me If You Want to Live. And this is when Kyle says it, though. So this is the basis with, that's why every time a Terminator says that to her, they know that that's like, okay, this is safe. Because if that's what Kyle was said when he first got there and found her. And then when a Terminator shows up in every subsequent movie and says, come with me if you want to live, that's kind of the code that I'm on your side. So, but anyways, this scene, the reason I stamped it is because I think it's pretty cool. For a movie from 1984, it is really good. It has nice separation around your room, discreet sounds going on. As the camera jumps around the room, around the nightclub, you get different sound. The guns are showing up from different parts of your room. Like when Arnold first pulls out the gun, it's obviously at the front of your room, but then the camera changes and now you can hear it at the back of the room. When he's up at the front of the, you know, when he's on camera and he's shooting off to the left, the sound from the gun is off to the left. Probably shouldn't be there because it's the gun is actually in the center and that's where the sound's coming from. But I get what they're going for there. They're giving you some sound. They're giving you some pans there. One disappointment, which I am hoping and fingers crossed that we'll get it with a 4K disc someday, is better bass. Because the gun that Arnold's using, which is an automatic type Uzi type weapon, and he's just sounds good. That's not super deep. It still sounds like a gunshot, but it's pretty good. It's when Kyle comes in to save her. Arnold's just about to shoot Sarah, and Kyle comes up from behind him with a shotgun, and you know, at close range, he's right there on camera, and it is so disappointing. It is just bang, bang. I mean, a shotgun compared to this, you know, automatic weapon that Arnold has, there should be some pow there. There should be some punch in your chest. And I mean, enough, the shotgun actually puts Arnold through a window onto his back. So it's that powerful, but we can't feel it. We can't hear it as well as you should be able to. And hopefully someday we will get that. But it's still a fun scene nonetheless with all of the you know, sounds moving around your room. For a movie from 1984, I really can't complain, but it will be nice. I know they'll upgrade that sound. I hope so. Because when the disc comes out, this is probably one of the scenes I'm going to jump to see if they did it. So, all right, let's move along to 54 minutes and 54 seconds. Little shout out there to my son. That's his hockey number, 54. He's a goalie. It just happened to coincide. I didn't actually stamp it at that. But actually, I did stamp it at that, but it just came up. But anyways, so this scene here is a mistake. It's a continuity error and a pretty big one. Apparently, they don't trust Arnold with sharp objects. This is a scene where Arnold is cutting out his eye because he's got some damage. So he's just going to expose the T-800 eye, and he's got to cut the skin away. So you see in this scene that he reaches down for the X-Acto knife. And when you get a nice close up, the X-Acto knife takes up your entire screen. It's, you know, this giant X-Acto knife on your screen. And, you know, if you know how an X-Acto knife works, you put the little blade in the end and it's kind of like a pen or pencil type handle. And you put the blade in, you tighten it down, and that's your X-Acto knife. Well, he picks it up and he goes up to his eye. But when he gets to his eye at 54, there's no blade. There's nothing. It's just it looks like he's holding a pen up to his eye without a pen in it. It's just the handle. There's no blade. Then you get a jump cut to a straight on shot where you're getting the Stan Winston magic and they're going to cut away, but you could see a blade there, but there is no blade on the close up at 54. It's just the handle. So apparently Arnold couldn't hold a knife up to his face without actually stabbing himself in the eye. So I don't know. Maybe I'd do the same thing or put a plastic one in, or I don't know. But I noticed that, and it really jumped out at me. But again, I'll bet you back in 1984, when people were watching this on VHS in their homes, they didn't have these big screens to be able to go, huh? And when you saw it in the movies, you were probably just cringing because at the first time of seeing somebody cut their eye open like this. So kind of takes your focus off it. But now with our big screens and all we do is focus on the details, you get stuff like this. All right. Up next at 59:45, I'll be back. I didn't mean to stamp this just because of the line, the famous line, I'll be back. But it works out because I think this is a fantastic scene. I gave it a box of popcorn, one box of popcorn, because Arnold says, first off, let's get to the image. When Arnold says, I'll be back, he's got the glasses on. And again, this is 1984. They weren't expecting us to be able to see this. But you can clearly see with the resolution we have today, with the big screens and how pure everything looks, even on this Blu-ray, you can just see it's his normal eyes under there. It's not anything cut away. I think nowadays, if they shoot that same scene, they actually make his eye look like it's... If you could see through those glasses, you should be able to see, which we can, you should be able to see that it's a Terminator eye and not a human eye through those glasses. But you can see two human eyes. All right, enough of the nitpicking. Let's get to the fun stuff on this scene. So the sound, very quiet. When he first walks in, he's talking to the receptionist or whatever, the cop at the door. And when he leaves after saying, I'll be back, they go to the cop writing. And they kind of focus on the sound of the pencil on the paper, which brings you in. It like really kind of sucks you in because you're listening for it. And you hear the scratching. And the pretty cool. But now here comes the car through the window. Listen to that sound as that car comes through the window, because the car comes through at the front of your room, but it pushes everything to the back and the sound moves off to the back really, really nicely. Really cool. But then as the scene progresses through, the sounds move around the room as he's getting out, as things are going on. Really, really nice transition there. When they jump to Sarah Connor on the couch asleep, really, really cool transition, because you get that loud sound. Of course, the car's coming through from the center, kind of going down a little bit to the left, but it does move to the rear of the left of the room. But then they do a jump cut to Sarah Connor on the couch, and those exact same sounds are muffled off in the back of your room like they're further away. I thought that was a really, really nice transition. That's why I gave it a box of popcorn. And it all starts with, I'll be back. All right, moving along to 1 hour, 4 minutes, 22 seconds, hiding the car. This is my wheelhouse. I love this stuff. So Kyle and Sarah, they're pushing the car off the road and they're hiding it into the bushes. And they push it down, and the car rolls off to the left, off screen. And it's pretty cool because Sarah stares at it for a second, and she just sits there on your screen at like 1 hour, 4 minutes, 28 seconds. She's just staring at it, and you can hear the car perfectly off camera, off the screen. You can hear it's like it's outside your room because my speakers are right up against that wall of the room. So it's like the car just went and left and went out to the left side of my room. It's fantastic. I love these pans, but it's so the best. What made it so great for me is I wouldn't have stamped this if Sarah didn't just stand there and stare off to the left of the screen. And you're like, because when you freeze it, you're like, what's the big deal about this scene? Let me push play on this for you. And you can hear a car way over there. It's pretty cool. Pretty funny. I like that stuff, but you guys know that. All right. Move along to 1 hour, 9 minutes, 30 seconds. Tell me what it was like. And this is where Kyle and Sarah, they're hiding out. And Sarah wants to know what it was like. What was it like in the future for Kyle? And how did they live? So he starts to tell the story. He's a little bit hesitant to do so, but he starts to tell the story. And as he gets into the story, just even a little bit before, like he's just about to start telling the story, you can hear the winds blowing around your room. Super, super subtle. Up mixing with the Neural X, I could hear it over my head a little bit. But it's like a over your room. Excuse me. Really, excuse me. Come on, don't fail me now. So you can hear that all around your room gradually increasing. And then we go to the future where we see this and he's telling the story, but the room starts to become more engaged. But when you're looking at him and looking at them in present day 1984, the transition of sound happens a lot earlier than the transition of picture. Really, really nice scene. Then we get into another futuristic battle scene, but we also get some cool resolution pictures too of 1984, big resolution squares all across your screen, getting all those pixels. So I really like that scene a lot. A lot of fun there, but definitely check out that transition. Coming up next, we have Infiltrated at 1 hour, 12 minutes and 10 seconds. I gave this a box of popcorn. This is when we're in the future, and this is where we see the picture of Sarah that he had been holding on to. He eventually, in this scene, loses that picture. It gets burned up. But the Terminators have infiltrated their area, their compound or whatever. And a shootout ensues. Laser beams shooting across your screen, which I think in 4K with HDR is going to look fantastic someday. But the sound, the way the sound moves around the room, really, really nice. There's some nice bass in here with some of the explosions. Nice pans of sound. Like, so you get the gun. The one I could compare to, if you're listening, you're not sitting in front of your home theater listening. The opening scene of Terminator 2, when we all know when the Terminator comes up and he's shooting off to one side, but then he shoots directly at the camera and we get that pan of sound and all of a sudden it's a bum, 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 really loud in your face. We get a couple of those here, not as intense in your face sound, but the Terminator, which looks like a regular man at the time in this movie, he's shooting back and forth. And as the gun moves more to center, you get a more distinct, louder sound out of that gun. That happens a few times in this scene, which is really nice. But there's also like chaos going on around your room. There's gunfire going off. There's explosions going off. Very discreet, very well placed around your room. Lots of fun, this scene. That's why I gave it a box of popcorn. All right, moving along to 1 hour, 23 minutes, 15 seconds, Barking Dog. Gave this a box of popcorn as well. And this scene is really, really cool. I really like what they did here. So what happens is Arnold has found Sarah and Kyle, and he's approaching the hotel motel area. And there's a dog outside, which we all know means the dogs know what Terminators are. Apparently all dogs know. It's not something that you could train them for. They just all know in any time period. Terminator shows up, dog knows. So the dog's barking, and Arnold is walking up to it. He looks at the dog, and we get to see the dog through the Terminator's eyes. So we see all the scrolling data on the sides of your screen. Looks nice. Will look even better in 4K. I think we'll get better. Contrast, I should say, with that HDR. That'll look really nice. But he's looking right at the dog, and it sounds natural. Sounds like a dog is barking in your face. As he looks away and walks away, that sound of the dog moves down the right side of your room, but it also changes tone. It turns into more of a mechanical sound, like a Terminator is hearing it and not a human. It sounds very mechanical, like the dog barking. It gets higher, it gets tinnier. It sounds a lot different, but it pans. It's transitioning from the front of your room to the rear of your room, which down to the right side, which is really cool. You get a pan and a change in tone, which is a lot of fun, a lot of fun. And I'm really happy they did this stuff, even back in 1984. Well, or when this Blu-ray was made. All right, let's move along to 1 hour, 24 minutes, 34 seconds, gunshots. Gets two boxes of popcorn because it's almost a jump scene. It's almost like what was that? So Sarah and Kyle are racing down the road in a black pickup truck. I believe it's a black pickup truck. And Arnold's chasing them on a motorcycle and he's got his automatic rifle out and he fires at them. Then the scene, the camera goes to looking at Sarah, and then I believe it jumps to a scene of both Sarah and Kyle. But when the camera first goes to Sarah, you're looking at Sarah, and the sound goes to the rear of your room, not 100% accurately placed, but I love what they did here. So she's driving along in the car. The back of the car is getting shot, which means it should be at the front of the room because the back of the car is behind her and you're looking at her face. So anyways, let's not worry about that accuracy because it still is super engaging. And that's why I gave it 2 boxes of popcorn. 3 gunshots. I'm pretty sure it's 3 gunshots go right across the back of your room from the left, one in the center, and then one more at the right side of your room. Awesome. It's just bang, 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 loud, punchy. Not super deep bass, but like a bullet hitting metal. Just that it's nice, super distinct, not super deep, but just distinct sound of a gun, of a bullet hitting metal right behind your room. And it is pretty loud. I'm listening at reference level, and it's one of those scenes where you go, whoa, what was that behind me? It's really, really cool. Definitely, and it only takes a few more of them happen after this, but when that first happens, really cool. Definitely, that's why I gave it 2 boxes of popcorn. Lots of fun scene to show people. And again, 1984, look at what they're doing. So cool. All right, let's jump to 1 hour, 26 minutes, 27 seconds, steam leak. Sarah and Kyle's car, their truck gets flipped over. Kyle's injured, his leg is pinned, the car's upside down, they're on the roof, and the image on the screen is Sarah trying to help Kyle, and the engine would be off to the left side of your screen, off screen. Arnold has tumbled down the road, he fell off his motorcycle or whatever, and now he's off on the road, which is a more quiet place. Check out when they jump back and forth to watching the two of them. Really, really cool. Because the steam, like, you get an accident like that, you hear noises coming off of an engine, a noise like a, like things are leaking or whatever. Way off to the side. I actually, in my room, it was like halfway down the room, which is probably where the engine would be because we got a pretty good close-up of Sarah and Kyle inside the upside-down truck. Then they jump to watching Arnold get up off the ground. Very quiet. What's funny is that sound on the left side of your room just goes away. Then they come back and that sound just comes right back in. That comes right back in. Again, if they don't put that in, nobody cares. Nobody notices like, hey, we should have a leaky engine over here on the left side of the room. Why don't we have that? Nope, they don't do that. Nobody cares. But they put that in for us. That's all for us. And I love it. All right, let's move along to 1 hour, 29 minutes, 3 seconds, no boxes of popcorn here. I have a feeling that we'll be giving this one boxes of popcorn in the future in the 4K version. But right here, boom goes the truck. And this is where they've put in those explosives, like a stick of dynamite that they made. They stick it into the back of the truck that Arnold's driving, and the truck goes boom, which is really nice. It's not a deep boom. It's not a boom you can feel. It's really lacking in the bass here, in the lower end of the bass. There's nice volume to it. It's just lacking in the lower end, the stuff that you can feel. But why I stamped it, why I enjoyed it, is because of the way the sound moves around your room. Like, this truck goes boom, stuff goes up in the air, and there is a delay to the scene. There's actually a few explosions, too. Those are nice, and they have different intensities. That's fun. Those fill your room in different ways. But then, after the explosion and pieces are coming down, you can hear them landing behind you. It's really not like pieces of metal just landing and coming down and crashing behind you. Lots of fun. Imagine what it'll be like if they can, you know, get that bass in there that gives you that punch on the initial explosions. And I want to say in my memory, it's like 3 explosions, like boom, 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 you know, and you to be able to get those punches, like a fireworks type punch where you get the punch in there, that's what you should be getting from this. Give me that lower end and this could be a reference scene. All right, move along to 1 hour, 31 minutes even. We did it, Kyle, and this is where Sarah finds Kyle and all of the wreckage here. Flames going on all around you, and she finds Kyle. She helps him up, and she's like, "We did it, Kyle. We did it." You know, they feel like you feel like you're safe the first time you see this. You know, they're not. I mean, the movie's not over yet, right? So they're hugging, but pay attention to the room. Everything, the sound of the flames, everything seems to be a little front heavy. The score kind of floating above you, in front of you, in the middle of the room, you know, just a little bit front, but up, not on the screen. The score is kind of set into the room a little bit. But then that ominous score, the dun-dun-dun, now here comes the T-800, starts to rise from the ashes. Well, not even ashes, the flames, coming up out of the flames. But notice the score. That fills the room. That takes over the entire soundstage of your room. And it's a really nice transition there, letting you know that, nope, we still have a couple of more scenes to get to. Really nice transition there from, oh, nice and calm, but still you got the flames, and then boom, boom, boom. Like, there goes your room. Reference level, it's going to sound awesome. All right, let's move along to 1 hour, 35 minutes, 45 seconds, Sacrifice. And that's because that's what Kyle does. Kyle sacrifices himself. He sticks that last stick of dynamite or explosive inside the Terminator's like rib cage area. And the Terminator, instead of pulling it out and throwing it, he just grabs it and holds it and explodes. And that explosion, really, really nice. Actually had some decent bass to it. Really nice punch to it. Not a lot of feel. Hopefully we get that in the future. But again, we get even more discreet sounds than when the truck exploded, because now it's a more intimate setting, should we say? just pieces of the T-800 exploding behind you, and or actually coming down around you. And then when that one leg lands, very distinct metal on metal sound of that leg landing, that hitting the ground, and it ding ding ding, really nice. It kind of bounces around in the front stage of your room. Really cool there. But listen, after the explosion, which is really nice, listen for those sounds, raining Terminator raining down around you. Really, really cool. All right, up next we have a really cool jump scare here at 1 hour, 37 minutes, 10 seconds. They will not stop. And I called it that because that's what Kyle says earlier in the movie, foreshadowing this scene, but basically telling you the history of the Terminator is that they won't quit no matter what. They just don't stop. And if there's anything left to them, they'll just keep on going. So here we have just a torso of a Terminator, and it just comes up and starts to attack Sarah. But the jump scare comes from how your room goes from her, you know, a very solemn moment when she finds Kyle. He's clearly dead. She's sad. She's in mourning. She thinks it's over, of course, but the room is fairly subdued. And then all of a sudden, up comes the Terminator, and the room, it's like the sound comes at you from every direction. Just the score just comes right at you, which has some nice bass in it, but also those higher pitch noises, similar to like a psycho, like just coming at you. It's a jump scare. It's definitely a jump scare the first time you see this movie. And now it's just fun. So, all right, up next at 1 hour, 39 minutes, 2 seconds, you're terminated. Well, we know what she says. This is a family show. I'm not going to say it, but I put a little dot, 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 but we figured out. But Sarah, she reaches over, she hits the little button to crush, to compress, to just use the hydraulics here, let the machines kill the machine. And the lightning in this scene, that's why I stamped it. That's why I give it 2 boxes of popcorn. It's just so much fun. And the different levels of lightning in your room, I really felt like it was the lightning, like if you could see lightning, the arc go across your room. Like if it was 3/4 of the way into the room, it would sound a certain way there. If it was behind you, it would sound a certain way there. If it was on the screen further away, it would sound further away. That's what they did in this scene. you could hear different arcs going, those lightning arcs, the blue, which, by the way, are going to look fantastic when we get the 4K HDR version. So anyways, the sound of these arcs, some of them are on the screen. Some of them, you could hear them arc from left to right, right to left. Some go behind you. You can hear the arc go behind you. But then the other ones have different depths in your room, different sides of your room. Just really nice, but it's not overwhelming. It's not like there's a ton of them going on. There's just like, arcs going on, and you could very easily pick them out. And it's a lot of fun to play the scene a few times and go, there's one over there. All right, let me listen again. Oh, yep, there's the one behind me. Let me listen again. Yeah, that one's a little bit floating off to this side over here, and then you hear them on the screen. Really cool scene. Two boxes of popcorn. Lots of fun to play with this scene. All right, this next scene is pretty subtle, but I really, really enjoyed it. So up next at 1 hour, 40 minutes, 14 seconds, doors closed, and I gave it a box of popcorn. Highly recommend you listening to this at reference level, as loud as you can possibly go with this scene. It's a quiet scene, so you should be able to handle it. But what happens here is Sarah's being loaded into the ambulance. They slide her in. There's a little bit of a score there, a little somber score. And they slide her into the ambulance and they close the doors. The screen goes black, but the echo, you're sitting in a dark theater now. If you're in a dedicated room, if it's nighttime in your living room and you've got all the lights off, everything is dark. But you can hear the echo of the doors closing. It's like, dung, 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 dung. Really, really subtle, really cool, though. And when you're sitting, like, in my dedicated theater, this room is dark. It's black. There's no ambient light whatsoever in this room when there is no light. So you're just sitting in the darkness, listening to that echo of that door closing. And it just really, like, kind of just makes you think the movie's over. Like, wow, what a weird way to end it. But it's not over yet. So we got one more scene to go. And up next at 1 hour, 43 minutes, 16 seconds, storm's coming, one box of popcorn. Because that's where you been the whole movie. Here's some nice bass. I almost felt it. So this scene here, this is where Sarah, we see the picture being taken that plays out through the rest of the Terminator series. So we see the picture being taken. She's talking to the gentleman running the gas station attendant. He says, there's a storm coming, storm's coming. And she's like, yep, I know. Well, she drives off. It's a nice scene right there with her at the gas station in the Jeep, and you hear the winds blowing of the desert winds are blowing and everything. Not really nice. But as she drives off, the score starts to ramp up. And then right when the camera goes behind the Jeep, I think it's at like 1 hour, 43 minutes, like 20 seconds, you start to roll into that thunder. But that thunder boom, really, really deep. Wish I could have had that. That thunder boom is more accurate on the shotgun shot that I talked about earlier. If they could have substituted that bass in for that shotgun, it would have been more accurate. Still needed a little bit more. I expect we'll get more out of this scene in the future too. But this scene here had some nice deep bass in it. Again, not really up through the seat and a big punch in the chest, but more so than almost every other deep bass scene in the movie. But really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed this scene. Really enjoyed all of the scenes. This movie played out really well. One of my favorite movies of all time. It is the original. It is the OG. Terminator 2 is one of my favorite because of the production quality was ramped up. But it's basically the same story. It's exactly the same story, actually. They end up in a factory at the end. They end up here, blah, blah, blah. The entire thing, right? The love story, this, that. And it, I mean, in Terminator 2, she kind of loves Arnold, right? She grows to love him. The guy comes back to save her, and she's not attracted to him in that way. I mean, he's a robot, for God's sakes. But anyways, really enjoyed it. I think this movie's a lot of fun. I hope you had fun with it. So that's all I have for the wrap up. That's all I have for the breakdown. So I'm going to pack up and head on out of the room.
Well, what did you think? If you own this Blu-ray, did I make you want to pull it off the shelf? Give it a watch? If you don't own it, do you want to buy it? Or are you going to wait for the 4K? Let me know in the comments down below on YouTube. Or you can email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. Or you can hit me up on Twitter @brightsideht. All those comments, plus questions, critiques, all of that on Tuesday when listeners take over and I do an audio-only podcast, Takeover Tuesday. And I'll be back then. So let me know what you thought. Hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like to support the podcast monetarily, if you enjoyed what you heard or saw here, you can go to patreon.com/brightsidehometheater and sign up for a monthly donation. Really appreciate it. All money, all proceeds go back into the podcast. Use that money to give out discs every month and help support the podcast with all of the tech that it takes to make a podcast. Talking about Terminator, I thought I'd throw in the word tech. All right. Have a great weekend, everybody. Hope you had fun. Thanks for watching. Now go push play.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.